If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I was praying about the message today, the Lord, about what the message the Lord would lay upon my heart. And this was confirmed to me, I believe, in just in different conversations or things I heard. And so I believe it's a word in season. And as we've said before, you may listen to this message today and say, well, you know what, preacher? I don't doubt my salvation at all, and that's good, praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean we're to shut off and say, well, you know what, it doesn't really apply to me then. You hear what's being taught, and then when you meet someone, which you will do, who does doubt salvation or has these insecurities, then you'll be able to open God's Word to them and to share these things. And as you say, as I've said each week, you have the notes available after, and you're able to read those as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, reading down to verse 12. The Word of God says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance that unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that is also in thee, or in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. And while I preach the message today, no doubt I'm not here to give you anything new. No doubt you will know what I'm about to say, but I trust it will be fresh and it will be a help. With God's word open, may we pray and ask the Lord for help. Father, we come to thee just now. Lord, as we come to read thy word and preach thy word, we pray, O God, throughout the whole time, may we know thy presence. We pray, O God, that we will be drawn to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the words that we have read. We rejoice that thou hast saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to any works that we could have done, but according to thy grace and thy purpose. We rejoice, O God, thou hast saved us for thine own name's sake. And therefore, Lord, we pray that we will rejoice in so great salvation. And Lord, we pray if there be any without Christ, without a Saviour, may they too come to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Answer prayer for his name's sake. Amen. When Paul wrote 2 Timothy, or his letter to 2 Timothy, Paul was in prison. And while in prison, Paul knew his death was soon approaching. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." With facing death, Paul wrote to encourage Timothy, a young pastor in the faith. And to encourage Timothy, Paul wrote of his own position in Christ. Paul knew that he was a sinner saved by grace. He knew Christ was the anchor of his soul. And Paul knew for him to die is gain. Paul could say, "I know whom I have believed." And that's what Paul could write to Timothy. However, not every Christian enjoys the assurance of salvation. They do not see death as a gain or an advantage because they lack this assurance. Many are plagued with doubts, fears, and questions, which are all answered by God's precious word. Some find themselves asking God over and over again, day by day, to save them. Others are filled with doom, despair, and doubt. They begin to question, "Am I truly saved? Are my sins really forgiven? Or when I die, will I reach heaven?" And I have to say, a lack of assurance on most occasions is the lack of scripture in the life, and certainly a lack of understanding in the life and in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put everything to do with salvation on yourself, you have every right to doubt and to fear. But when you put salvation as it centers upon the person and the work of Jesus Christ, then you have nothing to fear. Salvation rests in Christ's sinless life and his substitutional death. Or we could say, salvation rests upon Christ's glorious person and in his gospel ministry. It is clear when you meet believers, as I have met throughout the years, they have listened to so many other people put doubt and question who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and they question Christ's life, and they question Christ's death. They question why Christ died, and they question so many other things. And for those who listen to them, they learn that some teach that a Christian can be saved, but then lose salvation. There are others who teach that you can be saved all through the days of your life, and then right at the very, very end, be cast into hell. There are some who will also teach that the only way you will ever know that you're saved is when you die. And if you enter heaven, well, then you are saved. And maybe you've heard that before. Maybe you believe that. And now, obviously, it's true. Whenever you die, if you're saved, you go to heaven. But I mean, the very fact of having the assurance of that. And maybe, I don't know a lot of your viewpoints on these things, but I can tell you in my time, I have met Christians with a lot of fanciful ideas. And it all sums into this. They have no assurance that you can ever make heaven. You will never, if you will ever enter into heaven or not. As a Free Presbyterian Church, we believe the Bible clearly teaches that whenever a sinner is saved, they cannot lose salvation. So I want to state that whatever you believe, we hold as a denomination, which is right according to Scripture, so without meaning you'd be wrong, then that a sinner who is saved can never lose salvation. One who is saved by the grace of God will never perish. Now, while it is not my intention to give any false hope to any false professor, yet I do believe that every child of God must come to the assurance of salvation and rejoice in that hope. Having said that, assurance of salvation is not secure because the Free Presbyterian Church says so. As I said, we believe as a denomination that whenever a person is saved, they will never be condemned. They will never be cast into hell. But I don't want you just to hold that because the church says it or because I say it. I want you to hold that because the Bible teaches it. No church or man can give anyone else assurance of salvation. In other words, I don't want you to leave and say, I'm saved because the preacher said so. Or I'm going to heaven because my preacher said I am. I want you to be able to say, I'm going to heaven because my faith rests in Christ alone. The preacher can give advice. The preacher can counsel from the Word of God. But the preacher cannot give assurance. But here is the good news. The Lord wants you to be assured. Again, there are others who will say that you can never have assurance. But here we have in God's Word, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so there the Holy Spirit, the very author of Scripture, wants you as a believer to know the assurance of salvation. These things have been written for you, that you will know that you have eternal life. Maybe you lack assurance. Maybe you ask, are my sins truly forgiven? Am I secure of heaven? And your mind is in perplexity. There's turmoil. There's discouragements. Can I be sure I am saved? Well, let's look at God's Word and see what God's Word says concerning the assurance of salvation. Notice, first of all, the assurance of salvation because of Christ's person. Here's where we must start. The foundation for salvation is only found in the person of Christ. Christians must understand that salvation of, or the assurance of it, does not rest upon their efforts, upon their works, upon their performances. Again, what did Paul say? I know whom I have believed. Again, did we not read verse 9? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so salvation and the assurance of it rests on who Christ is and what Christ came to do. Christ came in the fullness of time, in the everlasting covenant of grace, to secure redemption by his own precious blood. The Father chose to save sinners before the foundation of the world. And he sent his Son into this world to live and to die for those whom had been given to him. And the Holy Spirit then convicts and calls those chosen to Christ and brings them into union, a saving relationship with Christ. And so Paul says, I know whom I have believed. The word know means to know by personal experience. And the word believed means to trust. And so Paul is saying, I know whom I have trusted. I know I'm resting not in my works, but in the work of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Furthermore, the word believed is in the perfect tense, meaning a once and for all action, never to be repeated. Paul is saying, from the moment I came as a sinner and I trusted and I believed in Christ, from that very moment, I have received full pardon of sin. I've been adopted into the family of God. I've been redeemed by precious blood. Paul knows God's salvation that has been given to him is an everlasting salvation. Paul does not need to be received. You hear Christians talk about that today, and they talk about every day getting saved. I ask Jesus into my heart today, and then I ask Jesus again into my life tomorrow. And you hear that all the time, and that is not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, When I believed on the Son of God, I was saved from that point for all eternity. He focuses on the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ and his own atoning work. Assurance of salvation depends on who Christ is and what Christ came to do to honor God. Christ lived a perfect life and offered that life as a payment for sin. What blessed assurance, what joy then is experienced by the one who believes on Christ, who personally trusts in the Lord. Christ Jesus came into this world to accomplish salvation. He came to make salvation actual. He came to make salvation certain. He did not come to make salvation a possibility. Rather, he came with a definite purpose, a particular purpose, to save and secure sinners given to him by the Father and to bring them home to glory. Can I ask you, have you believed on the person and work of Jesus Christ? Is he your hope and your stay? Many lack assurance of salvation because they look to themselves, what they have done or what they have failed to do. They lack assurance because they get into bondage. They try to go back and think of the day that they got saved and they begin to think, well, did I pray the right prayer? Was my prayer, did I have the right words in it? Did I mention the word sin or the word salvation? Or maybe I forgot salvation, but I said justification. Or did I pray long enough? Or did I say this or did I say that? And they get into a whole bondage. The one who led me to the Lord, the preacher who opened scripture, did he know what he was doing? Maybe he did something wrong. And people say they don't feel saved because they're depending on what they have done, the prayers they say, the words they say, the place they wear, and their assurance, or the lack of it, is depending upon certain things. But assurance of salvation depends upon trusting in Christ alone. You may lose, well, let me put it like this. You can never lose salvation, but you can lose the joy of salvation. And those who lack assurance are those who lack the joy of salvation. The Lord saved you for you to rejoice in him, not every day to be in fear of going to hell. And therefore, let me encourage you, get into the Word of God and focus more on the Lord and to learn more of him, why he came into this world, why he died. Keep coming to the Lord's Day services and be fed from the Word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ and learn salvation is not what you have done for him, but what he has done for you. What are you depending upon for heaven? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, come this day and put your faith and trust in him alone. Notice secondly, the assurance of salvation is because of Christ's promise. Paul said, I am persuaded. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. What was Paul persuaded of? That he is able to keep. In other words, Paul is able to say he's able to keep me. The word persuaded means to be convinced. And again, it is in the perfect tense, meaning from the moment I trusted Christ, I am convinced he will bring me home to glory. The moment I trusted in Christ, I am convinced, I am persuaded he dealt with all my sins. He fully has forgiven them all. All my sin has been put behind his back. And we've said this before. It's not that God forgets your sin, because God can forget nothing. But he chooses to take your sin and put them behind his back to remember them no more. That means he will never charge you with sin again to cast you into hell. You will never be sentenced to lost eternity. Sins have been put away fully and finally by the court of heaven. You have been declared righteous, perfectly just, because if Christ did bring all your sins back before you, then he would be unjust. He would be unfaithful. And so Paul says, I am persuaded. I am convinced that the moment, the day I believed on him, he saved me. He forgave me. He has redeemed me. Again, Paul used the same word in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39. I am persuaded. He said, neither death nor life. He said, I am persuaded or convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. Nothing will separate you from Christ. That's why we talk about union, oneness in Christ. And if you are saved, you are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You are accepted in him. And therefore, because Christ will not be cast out of heaven, you will never be cast out of heaven. And because Christ has entered into heaven, you are guaranteed heaven. John 10, 28 and 29. The Lord said to his people, and he's using the illustration again, object lessons and of sheep, describing his people as sheep. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And you've heard me say many times, that word pluck is the word meaning to carry by force. The idea is of people, as we said before, if there's ever an invasion, people are carried out by force. You grab someone by force and you move, take them away. Or as it's used by, you get a chicken, or if you're ever getting a chicken and you're taking the feathers off, you pluck out the feathers, pluck them out by force. And so that's what the word means. You're safe and secure in the arms of Christ. No one, yourself, not even the devil, can take you by force. The devil cannot steal you away from God. And there's also been used the illustration, hasn't there, where you get in your hand and you put a 1 pound or 1p in your hand and you hold it tight and you go to a child and say, try and take this pound out of my hand. And they're trying to, and they can't do it. And the illustration is, that's how safe and secure you are in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. I always say, people get married. I don't know how you feel about these things. I believe this wedding ring means something. I believe it's a token of union in marriage, and therefore it should not be taken off when people get married. That's just my personal opinion on those things. I don't know why people take them off anyway, but that's another subject for another time. But the point is this, the marriage is a symbol of union. And so the Lord does not take you off, in a sense. He does not cast you away. You're his forever and forever. One preacher visiting his congregation, remember years ago saying this, visited a dear man who was sick in hospital. And as this man was coming to the end of his life, he knew that he would forget his mind. And he used to fear and panic. He said, preacher, what happens if I forget I'm saved? What happens if I forget? And he was panicking about going to hell and all the rest. And the preacher said to him, brother, you don't need to fear or doubt, because it's God who does not forget. God will not forget. You're not holding on to him. He's holding on to you. And therefore, here is the promise of salvation. Paul said, I am persuaded. I am convinced. I'm trusting on his word, on his promise, not on the promise of the preacher. As I said, if you go home today and say you're going to heaven because the preacher or because of the church, then you're on sinking sand. But if you can go home and say, do you know what? I'm saved because of the promise of Scripture. The Lord says, them that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. That means I will in no wise expel. You will never be expelled from heaven. That's the promise to hold on to. Notice thirdly, the assurance of salvation is because of Christ's power. The words Paul said, he is able to keep. Literally read, he is able to guard. The word able refers to the Lord's infinite and unlimited power. And the word keep is the word to guard. It means to keep watch, or to act as a watchman. It is a military term, showing the activity of a soldier or a watchman whose job was to protect those from danger whom he watches over. One who would guard over the people and keep them from danger. And so Paul's point is this. Christ is the watchman of the soul. Christ is the guardian, the keeper of his eternal salvation. Paul can say with confidence, I am persuaded. I know. I believe. My Savior, he is able to keep. He's able to guard. He's able to be that watchman to protect my soul for all eternity. The question is not about Paul's ability to keep himself, but Christ's power to keep Paul. And that's why I said many go wrong, because they think salvation rests upon them, upon what they do. And they believe they have this ability. It depends upon them. I'm going to heaven today because today was a good day. I did 10 out of 10 things that I wanted to do. But then they fear tomorrow because it rained and they weren't just able to get outside to talk to someone. I've only been able to do 9 out of 10 things. I'm now stuck. What's going to happen? Have to wait till tomorrow because now I need to do 11 things to make up for the day I missed. And it's up and down. And that's how people live. I've met them. I tell you, people who came to me to speak. Remember we in the church in Lewis, you would have got people coming in and saying the things just, and you could just tell where people had been going around listening to, and they listened to so much nonsense that it just bogged them down. Get into the Word of God. That's what Paul is showing us. I'm persuaded, convinced, not in me, not in what I do, but on him who is able to guard, to keep, to watch over me. Again, John chapter 17, verse 12. The Lord said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept. Now it's the same word. I have guarded. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, believers are kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation. Not that believers are kept by the power of the church or the believer or themselves. We are kept by the power of God through faith on the salvation. That word kept is the word meaning to guard. It means to garrison around, to surround one, to be like a stronghold, a bulwark. And so Christ eternally defends, secures, protects, guards, watches over his people, that none of them will perish. None of them can be plucked away. None of them can be carried away. None of them can be overthrown. Why? Because nothing and no one can overthrow God's power. His power is omnipotent. His power is unchanging. His power is unlimited. Nothing can triumph over the Lord. What confidence this gives me. I'm trusting in his person. I'm trusting in his promise. I'm trusting in his power. He is able to do that which he said he would do. He promised, if I come to him, he will save me. And he did. He promised he has all power to deal with my sin, and he has. Notice fourthly, the assurance of salvation, again, is because of Christ's protection, to keep that which I have committed unto him. The word committed is the word meaning to entrust. It means to place in someone's charge. Now, we would always say, remember, for children's work, we would always say to the parents, thank you for entrusting your children to us. What does that mean? It means they're giving their children into your hands. I'm leaving my child with you. You're responsible for my child. I'm trusting you with my child. And that is a big responsibility, especially in this day and age. But that's the same idea when you have, you're doing that, you're trusting that into your hands to do that. Or you're here and someone's maybe doing work, or you have a job through and you say, well, you know what? I'll leave that in your good hands. I'm trusting you to do that. And so this is what this word means. To entrust, to give to someone's charge. Paul used the same word in 1 Timothy 6, verse 20, that Timothy had been entrusted with the gospel. Again, that's a big responsibility. You've been entrusted with the gospel. It's your responsibility, Timothy, to preach the gospel as it is. There's a time, Timothy, when people will not want to hear the true preaching of the word. But Timothy, the gospel has been entrusted to you. Don't waver with it. Don't change it. Don't dilute it. Don't try and flip it up a wee bit to suit people. Rather, preach it as it has been entrusted into your care. It's a solemn responsibility to stand in the pulpit between the living and the dead. Again, 2 Timothy 1, verse 14, Paul said, the good thing which had been committed to him, that is to Timothy, again referring to the gospel. And so this word committed means to trust to another's care. And so Paul is basically teaching, the moment I came and put my trust in Christ, my soul, my eternal life is put into Christ's keeping. He keeps me. My life is hid with Christ in God, and he will bring me home to glory. All whom the Father will save has been given, trusted to Christ, and he has purchased their redemption and provided their redemption and saves and keeps them. And so this is a wonderful truth. Again, Christ uses the same words in Luke 23, verse 36. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The word command, it's the same word commit. And so here we learn the believer has nothing to fear in life. You don't need to wonder, am I saved or not? Unless you're not saved. But if you are saved, you don't need to doubt. You need to realize that if you're trusting in Christ, then you believe his promise, you believe his power, you believe all who he is, and rest fully in him. Finally and briefly, the assurance of salvation because of Christ's program. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul knew, as he wrote in Romans chapter 8, that all whom God has called will be justified, and those who are justified will be glorified. Now, again, there's the wonderful truth that in the sight of God, in the mind of God, who knows the end from the beginning, he already sees you as glorified. I want you to be thrilled by that truth. You, right now, here on earth, and while we are guaranteed heaven, yet right now, in God's mind, he already sees you, believer, as glorified. That's why you can never be lost in sin. Because it would mean then God would have to change. He would not be God. He would have to go back on his promises. But because he now sees you already glorified, then in his mind, that good work that has begun in you, he has already seen it perfected in glory. Paul knew that the Lord's redemptive purpose, one day Christ will come back and he will see his Savior face to face. And while Paul was writing from a prison cell, his death was near at hand. Yet he could look forward to that day, knowing that when he died, he would go to heaven to be with Christ. Why? Because he knew whom he had believed in. And he was fully persuaded, convinced, that Christ is able to guard, able to keep his eternal life, his eternal soul, until that day, against that day, because the good work he has begun in us will perform it and fully perfect it on that day. So, in closing, unsaved one, I don't know today, your certain circumstances in life, the different places maybe that you have gone to or what you have heard, but I trust what you've heard today from God's word, that you know right now that you are lost in sin. And you know right now you need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for full salvation. Believer, you can rest secure because you trust in the person and work of Christ. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you die today, believer, you would enter into heaven. That is the assurance that God's people have. Do you have that assurance? Do you know you're saved from sin? Do you know heaven is yours? Do you know Christ has saved your soul? If so, rejoice in it. And say like Paul, I know whom I have believed for his name's sake. Amen.